that.
You're listening to Irish Radio Canada at Home and Abroad in Belfast, sitting with David Keenan. David, ta falchur o ta has more arum gwilto and sho and you.
Just to a colour is Austin, yeah.
Yeah, it's great to sit down with you. It's always great to connect with you. Congratulations on the new album.
Thank you.
You know, they always say that an artist's ambition is to get the top of the billboard, but you're on billboards all over the place at this stage.
Billboards all over Dublin, yeah.
No, with your arms outstretched.
Yeah, from busking on the streets of Dublin to billboards in Dublin.
Yeah.
Brilliant journey.
When did you start busking?
When I was about 16.
Yeah.
Bus trips to Dublin, stay there for the day.
Yeah.
Try to get the bus fare back.
Yeah.
But you know, you're hungry and you're young and you're looking for, you want to be surprised.
Right.
And you're looking for material for songs, and you know, when I moved to Liverpool at 18, you had to bus because you didn't bus, you didn't eat.
Yeah.
So it breaks down the shyness barrier.
Yes.
You know, it's vital to do it.
Yeah.
Because I was really shy, I can still be shy, but busking was brilliant. It's a real leveller.
Yes.
And even in a new city, I like to bus the odd time just to meet the place. Go for a run, maybe play a couple of songs outside. And
of course, when you busk as well, as you say, hunger is a great motivator.
Yeah.
But also, you develop, I guess, I won't quite say a different persona, but you step outside yourself and you become a different person when you're performing.
Yeah, I suppose if you have a window of opportunity, and I remember in Liverpool I broke 3 strings and it was raining and I didn't have enough for the hostel. And I just persevered. I said, I'll do another 20 minutes.
Right.
And a busload of Italian students came and filled the case for me that day, you know.
Right.
But also, if people aren't listening to you, you get to go in on yourself and you get to really listen to what you're doing and maybe try out a few things.
Right.
So there's
right.
loads of freedom in it, I found, anyway.
Right, but likewise, when I say that you get outside yourself, you know, you have a stage presence, a powerful stage presence, and yet here we are sitting and we're having a nice quiet chat. They're two different people, and that's the most natural thing in the world, I would think, because your stage presence is allowing you to express a part of you that you couldn't do in an environment just in the ordinary world.
Yeah, you get to access a part of yourself on stage, and even with songs help me access parts of myself that I couldn't articulate here in a conversation.
Yeah.
The song allows me to go to that place. Just like being on stage, you feel amplified, you feel the excitement, you feel the nerves, and then you're grateful that you get to do this. You're on the stage, people are listening. That is enough to turn you on, like turn on the lights inside,
and the electricity comes back.
Yeah, there's alchemy in the room.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it heats up. Our pores open, the guitar expands, everything is breathing, you know, it is, like, if you look at the science of it as well, like, it is, we open up and anything can happen, it's not scripted.
Yeah.
You can get heckled and it can make the gig.
Right.
You know, you can sink or swim in those moments, and there's danger, and I like that. So.
After a good gig, how long does it take you to come down?
Do you know, I'm generally really tired. Like, I generally, because I give it everything.
I know you do. You know? That's why. I know. Yeah. And emotionally, you're invested.
Yeah, it kind of empties the tank.
Yeah.
So I find this maybe after an hour or two of chatting.
Yeah.
Come down.
Right.
Get back. Maybe get a bit of grub.
And then you can go to sleep.
Get a shower. You know.
Yeah.
You're satisfied then, because you know you've given it your all.
Yeah.
You haven't stayed in first gear, or you know.
Yeah. When we talked to you before, we talked about your work with Joyce and some of your other works, but you've just launched a new album.
Yeah, Modern Mythologies.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, it was 3 years in the making, but I think I kind of matured on this album, you know. Over those 3 years, I didn't expect it to take that long, but life was happening, circumstances changed, and I'm glad it was made in 3 different studios. I think my life was a bit chaotic. I went back to mythology to look at, there's archetypal wisdom in there.
Yes.
That is thousands of years old in Ireland and world mythology. Then I was trying to collect the stories of my own life and my own life experiences and get some sort of arc on the album musically.
Right.
You know, so it opens with this brass and it's very brash and full of bravado. But then at the end of it, through the experience of the album, it's very vulnerable and intimate.
Right.
So there's, for me, there was growth in that. And and now the seal is broken again. And I'm going to release a lot of music this year.
Good for you.
You know, and I think that's the way for me. Because if I have things lying around for too long, they really, really, you know, it really wreck my head.
Okay.
Know? I have the attention span of a flea with songs. I'm just writing songs all the time. I can't hoard them. I need to just get them out. You know, so.
Given that you have placed the trust of your life in your music, and for a lot of people, that's a hell of a trust, because there's only a few who can kind of say, I'll devote 100% of my career and this will provide me what I need.
Yeah.
The process of writing, recording, producing, before you ever get to performing, like, you have to invest before you get the return which generates the revenue stream.
Yes.
And yet you have to balance that because you need the revenue stream.
Yeah, and this whole thing of you can't play live unless you have an album to promote, or
right.
I'm not sure if I agree with that, because I think once you release a body of songs, for me, I'd love to be gigging all the time within reason. And you do have to invest. I'm kind of fiercely independent, so whatever I get from the gigs, it goes back into the majority of it to record the next batch of songs, so I can go back out onto the road. And and you know, like we were chatting yesterday about the hurdles, be it not getting airtime or financial hurdles, but you just have to work your way through it. You have to keep swinging.
Right.
Like I for me as a kid, there was never going to be anything else, because this is my first marriage, love, contract, bond, music. It was music. Music was there before anything. And I just had this innate trust that if I looked after it, it would keep looking after me.
Right.
You know, and I've never had a real job. I was totally unemployed, but I probably still am. But there's... I'm amazed at what music continues to bring to my life, you know.
Right.
But I'm with it all the way, you know.
And you have to be different, right? Because if you're just one of the same, the ability to do to generate the revenue that will sustain you becomes more challenging, because you're just a me too. So part of what you have to bring to the table, and what you are bringing to the table, is an individuality, which is something that defines you and gives you that something that somebody else doesn't have. Otherwise, you're not going to survive.
Well, I think, you do it for yourself first, but in this day and age, you have to be doing this, that, and the other to survive with it. But, it's feast or famine as well.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, in the last 10 years or so, I haven't gone hungry, and I'm just enjoying doing what I'm doing. I don't feel like I've ever gone out of my way to service a demand, or I could have taken the soup in many ways, when I was younger. And again, that higher intuition came in and said, no, this isn't your path.
Yeah.
Stick to your guns.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
So I keep listening to that.
And in the last 12 to 18 months, I know some of the gigs that you've got have been very high profile, and you got to perform in a lot of situations that a lot of artists would aspire to, some of the big festivals as well. That must be, at least it's a validation for what you're doing.
Well, it's brilliant, but as well as that, I balanced it out. Like in October last year, I put it out on September last year I put it on social media, where should I play in Ireland, Hidden Gems, because I was told that there wouldn't be an album tour until March, April this year.
Right.
So I said, sure, that's no good to me. I need to be playing.
Yep.
So within 3 days, I had pubs, community centres, people's homes, 14-day tour, and I just packed a guitar and an amp and went.
Right.
A couple of friends drove me, public transport, visited wells and ancient sites, and was totally enriched again by the travelling bard system of just... feed me, put me up for the night, cover the cost of travel, and away I go.
Yeah.
And it was a rebirth.
Right.
I got stories, I got songs, the nature, and I was reminded of why I did it in the first place.
Right.
And a village pub in Bohola in Mayo.
Yeah.
I got more from that gig than I did from the National Concert Hall. I really mean that.
I can only, yeah.
It was such a test and a challenge. And then there was something heroic in everybody at the end were up singing and singing on a donkey and cart outside. And
right.
The magic of the Irish pub. So it's really just pursuing that.
Right.
Whether it's the big rooms or those little small pubs that are community hubs. I want the experience, you know. The magic.
David, I know you and I are going to talk regularly because I know your career is on the go in the right direction. And as you said, there's a lot of new music that will be coming over the next 12, 18 months, and we will be reconnecting. I want to thank you for taking the time now, and we're going to share a piece of music. And what are we going to share?
Song from the new album?
Yeah.
50 Quid Man.
50 Quid Man. This is David Keenan. You're listening to Irish Radio Canada. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you.